This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and here we are on Thursday, June 1st, 2023. This is the first Thursday, and so it's our World Peace Meditation Satsang gathering on Zoom, either by phone or computer or however we can get in here. And thank you all for joining us. It's just about exactly 5 o'clock here in California. So we'll go ahead and maybe I'll give a few minutes for people to come in. More, it looks like a couple more people are coming in. So great. Wow, it's great to be back home. We just arrived about 1 hour ago. It's been really busy. We had a tour. We just came back. So maybe I'll say a few words about that. Yeah, it's good. I'll just go ahead and get started. So, as you all know, this is the gathering that we have on the first Thursday of the month. We've only been doing this for maybe 2 years, I guess. The third Thursday we've been doing for probably 12 years. And this one is focusing on meditation and just creating an opportunity for us to gather while supporting the inner work that we're doing as vegans. And it's not so much focusing on all the controversies and issues. We do that on the third Thursday. So this is only an hour long at the maximum. And so before we jump into our meditation, I'll just say a few words while people are coming in. We are really happy with the way our little mini tour went in our little mini van. We left on the 23rd, I think it was, of May, 10 days ago, and we drove right down from where we live up 2 hours north of San Francisco down to Fresno, and I was really concerned. I thought, boy, I don't know if anybody's going to show up at this event in Fresno at the Unitarian Church, but we had some people. Came, and they were great people. They were fantastic, actually. And Madeline is just launching a whole new series of art prints. She's never done it before. This is a brand new thing. So we have the regular art prints, which are pretty big. And she added 4 more to that. And then she started a whole new line of art prints. So far we have 8 of them that are really little ones, small ones. They're called minis. And they're much less expensive and easy for people to buy. So they're little mini prints, and they're beautiful. They're really gorgeous. So people bought those. That was that was nice. Helped pay for the fuel. And so we had a wonderful event there. Some great people came. One guy he's like the main vegan activist in Fresno, and he's just out. Like every weekend and even after work, he teaches at the local high school, handing out literature, talking to people, trying to get everybody to stop killing and eating animals. And he has videos he's showing on his device and so forth. So we had a lot of great discussions because it's great, I think, for people who, if people feel called to get out and really spread the message that way, as he was doing. So that event was delightful, and they have a big grand piano in the sanctuary, and it was just a beautiful space. And then we went down to Palm Springs, and we had an event in Palm Springs, and it was a similar thing. I wasn't sure if we'd get too many people to come, but it was a huge turnout. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They had pretty much filled the place up. And they had a nice grand piano too. And so that event went really well. So yeah, so those first two events I was really kind of concerned about, but they went great, and wonderful people, and so yeah, it was great. And then we went down to Phoenix and then did a presentation in Phoenix. It was the same thing. It's like this really, we did one in a, if you've ever been to Sedona, the main vegan restaurant there is called Chocolate Tree, and this one now in Phoenix, the same people, is called The Giving Tree. It's a vegan, organic vegan restaurant. Not only, I mean, this is unheard of practically. It's organic restaurant, vegan, and they don't buy anything. I mean, they don't buy any sauces. They don't buy anything processed. They make everything themselves. They make their own tofu, their own tempeh, their own sauces, their own everything. It's all from scratch. Everything's from scratch. that's completely unheard of. So what a great, and that was a, that was an event that was advertised as being a veganism and health freedom event. So it brought in this huge crowd of health freedom people that were not vegan. So that was fun because they were right on board, and I think I got some of them to move in that direction. One guy, he's really famous. He's world famous. He's called the Plant Whisperer, and he's developed the leading mycelium, I think it's called, the bacteria, not the bacteria, the mushroom, the fungal net webs. And he sells this soil to farmers and to vineyards. And he says that they triple, quadruple, quintuple their output. I mean, they make so much more money because their plants just take off. He has 2 billion worms he's working with. And anyway, he's not a vegan, but I think we planted some seeds with him. And it's really amazing. I mean, we meet some incredible people. We meet the most amazing people on these when we do these tours. And so that event was spectacular. And then we had the next day, we had the rehearsal for the Supreme Master Qinghai event that we went down there for. And that was great. We actually met, Dr. Silas Rao was there. And so he's an old friend of ours. And, I don't know if you know Dr. Baxter Montgomery. He's a vegan MD from Houston. He was there to speak also. And then, Jane Velez Mitchell, if you know her. So we had a rehearsal. It was like it was a lot of work, but we did. We rehearsed our speeches, the panel. I played the piano. Madeline and I played the piano and flute. It was kind of a big deal. For the next day, the big event was the next day. They rented out this whole event center. Must have cost them, many tens of thousands of dollars to do all that and drive everybody. And they had all these musicians they flew in from Canada and from all over the country. And they just flew people in from everywhere for this event. And then they live streamed it on Saturday. And it was a big deal. Like, there was millions of people watching all over the world, especially in Asia, watching the live stream. We had about a few hundred in the hall. The hall was... but it was mainly a live stream event. It was the launching of Supreme Master Qinghai's new book, which is called Love is the Only Solution, Promoting Veganism. So anyway, she just spent a lot of money and created this big event. And you can watch it online, I think. I mean, I haven't actually watched it online, but we were there, and it was a remarkable event. The people were fantastic. They made amazing meals for us. They took us. They drove us around. They had all this green carpet. All kinds of, we were all, they treated everybody like VIPs. That was there was, I guess, 5 VIPs or something, the speakers. But anyway, so that event was amazing and went very well. And then we did some more events. We just kept doing events. We did, the Unity Church the next day, and then we drove, and then every day, the great thing was it got so hot in Phoenix, it was like 100 degrees. And but the Salt River, because of all the rain, this river that's usually dry was really high, and so every day we went swimming in the river, and then after Phoenix we went up to the Kern River. I don't know if you know the Kern River in Southern California. It comes out of the mountains, and we've been there before. It's a great place to camp and swim because we had an event the next day on Tuesday in Visalia. And so on Memorial Day, we were there and on the Kern River, and the snow melt is so off the charts. This river that's normally a nice little kind of tame, nice little river was an absolute raging, unbelievable, I mean, just raging, a huge, I can't tell you. I mean, it was just gigantic haystacks. I mean, people were professionals with these rafts were going down, but they were getting flipped over, and they were warning everybody not to go in the water, but we went in every day. Anyway, you had to be careful. You had to go in just where there was a little eddy, because it was roaring, and it was just rip-roaring. It made so much noise. And so we had just a wonderful time in that river. And then we tried to drive to Visalia, and we drove all the way from up to the top of a 6,000-foot ridge, and then the road was closed. The road had been washed out by all this rain and snow they had, and then we had to turn around and go all the way back down. Then we went on another road all the way along the Kern River, and then it got washed out. We had to turn back again. I mean, it was amazing. The power of water is incredible. So those two pieces that I just played before we had the meditation, if you were here early, one was called Returning to the Sea, and the other one was called Falling Gently Like the Rain. You know, water is so gentle and so sweet, but man, it can be really powerful too. The flooding was incredible. We saw this lake that's usually there. It's called Lake Isabella. It was so huge. It was like the whole forest was flooded. I mean, trees were flooded halfway up their trunks. Everything is flooded. So anyway, it was quite an ordeal to drive. We finally made it to Visalia, but we were driving for hours and hours trying to just find our way around all this water that had flooded and closed all the roads and everything. Still, I mean, months later, it's really neat. Anyway, we had a great event in Visalia. Then last night, we had our final event at the Vegetarian House, which is the very first vegan restaurant that the Supreme Master Ching Yai ever opened 30 years ago, 30-year-old vegan restaurant. And again, we didn't expect a very big turnout, but they packed the place again. It was full of people, and it was a wonderful closing event. I saw people I haven't seen in, 10 years or 15 years, some really old friends, and a lot of new people. So that was great. And so then we spent the night, and this guy told us about a mountain stream in Saratoga. So we were there this morning at 8 o'clock swimming in that. It was ice cold, just like the Kern River, which was ice cold. Just a second. So anyway, we did that this morning, and then we were able to get back home here by 4 o'clock, and now we have our call. So if I sound a little bit wound up, it's probably because a little bit I am. I mean, it was such a great tour. I'm so happy. You know, we really, with COVID, things seem to get more difficult, but it was nice to have this short 10-day tour where everything went so well, and people were fantastic. Everybody was so loving and cooperative, and we just got to keep doing our best to get the message out there. I think that's the thing, and I want to thank all of you for all of your efforts. So let's go ahead and get started, and I think we're ready for that, right? I mean, it looks like we're all here, the gang. All right, so we're back. I'm at the piano. I haven't played this in 10 days, but we'll go ahead and get started. So if you're new, what we usually do is on this first Thursday, I play the piano and we do a meditation for a while. I mean, it's not very long, but maybe another 20 minutes or so, and then we open it up for discussion about things having to do more with the spiritual dimension of our movement. Okay, so let's begin. Here we go. So let's go ahead and begin our time of meditation. With every breath we take, we allow ourselves to enter more deeply into the heart of this moment. Breathing together. Give thanks for this beautiful moment on this earth, this beautiful earth. And for this precious opportunity to practice the teachings. The infinite and eternal truth teachings that liberate us from the delusion of separateness to the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. Breathing and relaxing into this present moment. So we connect now with the power of nature, the power of the sun, radiating the source of life here on this earth, and all that the sun represents, shining always on everyone. Those who are kind and loving, as well as those who have not yet learned to be kind and loving. The sun shines. Warmth and healing power. According to some traditions, the sun is not just shining light and warmth, but it's also shining information. We can incorporate into every cell of our being. So we just feel now our connection with the sun and with the source of the light. Sun beyond the sun, the infinite light that is always shining at the very heart of the universe, and we connect now also with the power of the earth. Bringing forth life in an infinite variety of forms. And we give thanks knowing that this power of the earth is the power that nurtures us, power of love and kindness and caring. That we are living this lifetime to be a bridge between heaven and earth, to bring our human life to a higher dimension, to raise it up to the infinite sky, the cosmic eternity, and to bring that awareness of infinite life into every relationship that we have on this earth, into all of our actions, thoughts, and feelings. The earth is the great embodiment of divine love, divine creativity. We are. Each one of us is nature. Each one of us is a manifestation of the union of heaven and earth, this physical body, the vehicle that we have for this lifetime, and we connect also with the power of the air and the wind. Breath. The breath of the earth and of the cosmos, the breath that flows through all the meridians in our body, all the different channels. The breath that brings life to every cell. Knowing that every breath we take is connecting us, not only with each other, but with all who have gone before us. We breathe with the other living beings. We breathe with the trees. Exhale the oxygen that we find so helpful, and we connect with the air and the wind that is swishing around us on this earth, cleansing and purifying. Of the earth, the source of the fresh air, that comes pouring into our minds, opening us to deeper truths. With the power of the water, the water within us, flowing in every cell, bathing every cell, all the many waters in our physical body that are joined always with the waters of the earth. Great mystery of water. Water as the most gentle of all forces, the most irresistible, the most undeniable, embodying intelligence. Cleansing and purifying, baptizing, bringing new life. Embodying consciousness. And now we feel our connection. All the other animals and their vehicles that they use to celebrate their lives, all the birds in the air, all the marine animals in the water, all of the land animals on the earth. All the beings that inhabit the higher realms, the cosmos. Heartfelt wishes for love and caring and kindness to all of the other living beings, to all the human beings on this earth, to all of the beings we refer to as animals, especially the animals who are routinely abused for food, for medical testing, for products and clothing. To their suffering at our hands. We caress them tenderly. We give them our apologies on behalf of human beings. See them with their beautiful eyes, liberated from human domination. Here on this earth, now free from all human ignorance and interference and greed, intertwined with all of humanity and love and appreciation and harmony, as we join together telepathically, communicating with the animals, learning from them, part of the great cosmic dance of life on this earth. That we take to be great winds that sweep the earth, bringing loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace everywhere on the land, in the water, and we see the human family shaking off the old darkness of delusion, all the wounded fears and misunderstandings of reality. And standing up and letting go of the whole animal agriculture delusion. Eating our meals from beautiful orchards and gardens, fields and food forests. Decentralized communities, connected with the earth, with the beauty of the lakes and streams and rivers, all the animals, with minds and hearts that are poised in harmony and understanding, in communion with the deeper purpose that we have on this earth. This opportunity of this lifetime, we give thanks for all of the teachers that have appeared in our life, even the teachers that seemed to have wounded us. Understanding that very often it is our wounds that give us the greatest compassion and gifts and understanding. We see the divine perfection in our life. Brothers and sisters who are making great efforts to shine the light of kindness and respect for all living beings into this world. Begin to close our meditation now, coming back to the breath. With every exhalation, together we radiate loving kindness and goodwill and benevolence. With every exhalation, we generate and radiate compassion for all beings. May all beings be free from suffering every exhalation, we radiate joy in all directions for all living beings. As we connect with the ever-present joy of being, every exhalation we radiate peace and harmony. We see the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace, the truth, beyond all these surface appearances is the great peace. Infinite love that is the source of all life. And finally, we radiate into the world the freedom, creativity, and gratitude. Wisdom and understanding every day to contribute more fully and deeply to the healing of our world and to be part of the awakening of humanity at this critical time. Thank you, everyone, for being here and being part of our first Thursday gathering. So some of you came in a little bit later than others. At the beginning, I was just talking about our recently completed mini tour. And I just have this feeling that our life is so precious on this earth, and even when we have these daunting challenges, that there's something even precious in them as well, that's how we grow. So there's this sense I have of, again, I think we've talked about this before, the earth as a school, and we're here to learn, and we're also here to contribute, to help others and teach each other. We're really teachers for each other. And it's the earth school, isn't it? It's difficult. It's so the pain is so intense, and real, apparently, that we can experience and that we can inflict on each other. What is the actual purpose of this? What is the purpose of our life? And how do we really contribute to being part of the solution to these ancient dilemmas of deception and domination of the weak by the strong? There's these beautiful lights that we see. Historically, people, great sages and saints and mystics and poets who have attained a higher level of consciousness and who shine their presence and their teaching and their peace. And we look at them and we think, how can I be more like that? How can we manifest the grace and beauty and dignity and kindness and love that others have managed to attain? And that's a beautiful thing, because quite honestly, this is something that's important to remember. If one human being can do it, then we all can, really. I mean, it's a potential that we all have. And I think so much of the potential is really internal. And it's realized really through practice. That seems to me something that is unavoidable, that veganism is a practice and that we can always improve in our practice of veganism, because veganism is not merely refraining from eating this, that, and the other. It's really embodying loving kindness in all of our relations with cows, pigs, chickens, turkeys, ducks, geese, and humans. So we have a tendency to treat animals as livestock, and pretty soon to treat each other that way, and to get out of that whole mode of materialism, which is really, I think, the main poison that is inflicted upon us in this lifetime. The materialism of thinking that we're just an object that was born and will die, and others are as well. So thank you again for joining us, and I'm happy. Really, we have about 15 minutes of time together. And if you have a question or comment or a report or anything that you think would be interesting or helpful for all of us, feel free to either press *6 to unmute or raise your hand. I think down below there's that little thing. It's the reactions. You can raise your hand there. If you'd like to share, and if not, that's fine too. I'm happy to share a few more things that have been going on here. I think, you know, quite honestly, it seems like the times we're living in are really, it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, my father used to quote Patrick Henry and Adam Smith. My father was like super patriotic, and he would memorize these poems, and he would say, "These are the times that try men's souls." You know, he would say how the time for the sunshine patriots are over. You know, we need people who really stand up for freedom. And it made an impression on me. You know, that I think I have to say, you know, at the time I kind of thought, well, he's a little bit over the top here, but it was a very real thing for my father. This idea of grappling with everything and not just being a passive bystander, but really jumping in to the fray and being part of the solution, if we can be part of the solution. And I think there's something really to be said about that. You know, it's great to be a meditator and to meditate and to, I mean, that's critical. That's the most important thing in many ways, I think, to really do the inner work. But the thing is, a human life is doing. We're here to act. We're not here just to sit. And we're here to actually contribute. And so that's part of what we see around us, that if we fail, I think, really, if we fail to speak, if we fail to act, if we fail to defend and protect, and that's a failing. And of course, in the big picture, we don't ever fail, because I really think it's important to remember the multiple lifetimes. You know, there's not just this one lifetime. We have countless lifetimes. So the whole idea is to keep making progress and understand more and more why we're here, and to live our unique life, and to learn our lessons that are really, in many ways, just for us. You know, that's why it's so challenging, I think, to try to give other people advice, because we don't know what their lessons are, really. And we each have our own lessons. But we can, I think, by being an example, we can help each other to get out of the misery that we're causing others and ourselves. And that's one of the main things that veganism is all about, right? I mean, veganism is to awaken out of this cultural delusion of violence and disease and oppression that we're all born into. I mean, that's something that is almost inescapable. Even if we're born into a vegan family, which is so rare, we're still born into a lot of delusion, because even vegans, quite honestly, have you noticed? Even vegans have a lot of hang-ups and misperceptions and misunderstandings and arguments and fighting and all kinds of things. So going vegan is just the first, in many ways, baby step toward as part of a much larger journey of awakening and fulfillment. So let's see, I see, oh yeah, from Kenny. Thanks, Kenny. So I think there's always more we can learn, right, from each other, and we can learn from animals and from what they're going through. And I think it's so easy for us to forget that, to just forget what the animals are going through, and it's good to keep remembering this that this is happening. Millions of animals are being killed every day right now. And not to let that just not to become numb to that, but to keep it alive. There's an old Buddhist saying, I think, that when we practice meditation, we start to resensitize ourselves, and that can be painful. You know, the saying was like if you're a normal sentient being, the experience of suffering is like a hair rubbing against your palm, right? It's just, you kind of feel it a little bit. But if you're on the path of enlightenment, then the inherent suffering is like a hair rubbing against your eyeball. And it's true. I mean, when we become sensitive to what's really happening, it's more excruciating than ever. I mean, we feel the agony and the suffering of other living beings. That's so unnecessary, really, it seems. I mean, why are we eating animals? We don't need it for any reason. There's no reason, but we're doing it. And so we become more sensitive to that, and then we have to figure out, how do I handle that? How do I handle being more sensitive when others aren't that sensitive? And the pain, you know, the pain of that, quite honestly. And here I am giving these meditations, talking about joy and harmony and peace and love and all this stuff. And then right behind the curtain, there's agony and misery and violence and terror and fear and despair. And it goes on in a gigantic flood, like that river, just gushing, just pouring. It's like, that's probably the amount of blood that's flowing right now because of all the animals being slaughtered. It's probably, the river we were on was, the Kern River was 10,000 cubic feet per second of water was going by. And then they said below the dam, it was 80,000. That's when it washed out the whole road, cubic feet per second. I mean, we're talking about, anyway, in terms of water, but probably in terms of suffering, it's the same thing. It's massive amounts of suffering that's going on. And one thing I think that can be helpful, not to minimize or to trivialize the suffering, but to put it in context, right? Just to remember, like, if I'm a pig and I'm suffering terribly in a gestation crate for 2 years, driven practically insane by, I can't move and I keep getting impregnated against my will, and then my babies, and then I take them away and they do it again over and over again. Then finally, they take me to the final insult of a slaughterhouse, and I'm prodded, and I'm thirsty, and I'm, you know, all of these things, and then I'm hung upside down by one leg, and there, you know, I'm in terror and pain, and then it happens, the knife and all of that. But then it's over, right? I mean, you know what it's like. I mean, it's you have a terrible toothache, and it hurts, and it hurts, and it hurts, and it hurts. But at a certain point, it's over. And then you look back on it, and you go, yeah, it really hurt a lot. But now it's over. And so there's something to be understood, not to in any way trivialize their suffering, but to just realize that for the beings, the suffering definitely is, when it's over, it's over. And in a certain sense, you know how the past is the past? It's like it never happened. It happened, but it never happened, because now here I am, right now. And so to me, it's like we need to learn how to hold all this. We need to learn how to hold the biggest picture possible in our consciousness of what is arising in the world, in our consciousness, and the purpose of our life to be effective. Because I think if we don't have that bigger picture, we have this sense of kind of crazy urgency. Like I have to make everybody go vegan because these animals are suffering. Well, there is a sense of crazy urgency, but we're not effective if we're hysterical and just not able to embody a sense of understanding of the bigger picture. So I think we're constantly called to understanding. But like the other day, I remember I was being interviewed by British vegan on a radio for a radio show, and he told me about his brother, who's a Buddhist meditator, and how his brother went to a Buddhist monastery, and his brother's a vegetarian. His brother's a vegan, actually, and he went to this Buddhist monastery in France. It was actually Thich Nhat Hanh's monastery in France, Plum Village. And he said that one of the monks there, or one of the senior teachers there, took him out to dinner and deliberately ordered meat and did it as a way to teach him that he shouldn't be attached to his purity of being a vegan. And he asked me what I thought of that. And I told him I thought that this so-called spiritual teacher who thought he was giving a teaching was very misguided. He was really completely defaming the Buddha and defaming the Dharma. He wouldn't go out and say, okay, let's go hit this old man and knock him down just so you're not attached to being kind to people, right? Or he wouldn't go and steal something, take some money out of the cash register at the restaurant and say, well, you know, I just didn't want you to be attached to being honest. But somehow it's an attachment to have compassion for animals and not eat them, right? I mean, how insane. And yet this is considered holy. This is considered like I'm a superior teacher because I'm not attached to to being a vegan or to not eating animal foods. And this is something, I call it the enlightenment fallacy. And it's pretty pervasive in many ways in our society, especially among New Age people or people who are in the spiritual communities. They have this idea that it's more spiritual to see that when I harm another being, it's not really harming them because I see them as not separate from me, and I love them and I appreciate them when I order the food, and I maybe I'm even helping them because maybe they'll be able to be reincarnated at a higher stage. Maybe, I mean, there's all kinds of rationalizations that people use to somehow justify eating animal foods from a spiritual point of view. Or they say, I'm beyond duality now. I'm more spiritually advanced than you vegans, because you vegans are stuck in dualism. You think in terms of good and evil and right and wrong. But those are all dualisms. I'm in the non-dual state. I can eat anything. When they say that, you better run, because they might eat you. So, but the whole idea is this is this happens. I mean, I see this happening quite a bit actually over the years. I mean, I've seen it. This idea that it's more spiritually sophisticated to be able to just eat whatever you want, bless it, and be everything's fine, and we shouldn't be judgmental, right? We're being judgmental and dualistic if we're refraining from harming animals. But I always encourage people to remember the words of the great Tibetan sage Padmasambhava. He said, "Let your view be as vast as the sky, and let your actions be as fine as fresh ground flour." Now, those two go together, really. That's how it is. When our view is as vast as the sky, we really do attain enlightenment. Then we really actually do see how absolutely essential it is to bring our life into alignment with that awareness. And so all of these games that we play on this earth to stay in our sense of being right or not having to change, I think sooner or later we have to give them up. And the sooner we do, the better, I think, for everybody. So, all right, well, let's see, how are we doing? We only have a couple of minutes left, but those are some of the things I was thinking of, and again, I had that wonderful experience over the last few days of extremely cold water. I just have to recommend that to everybody. You know, it's that Kern River. I mean, that was snow melt. It was coming down. It was roaring so fast, but it must have been, like 33 degrees. It felt like. Madeline said it felt like she was getting strangled when she went in. She couldn't breathe. It was super cold. And then this morning, we were at the vegetarian house, I told you, and the guy that he's been running it for 21 years, his name is Sonny, and he's from Australia. He's the most wonderful person. And he said, "Oh, I know you like to go and get into nature and go hiking in the forests and the mountains and jump into streams." He said, "I do the same thing." He said, "Every afternoon, every evening, I take off and whenever I can, and I take these long hikes and I go swimming in the and all that." He said, "I know all the streams and all the water around here, and where you are, you're going to be spending the night." We spent the night in the driveway of these two Asian women in our little van, and they were so sweet, I'm telling you. But anyway, he said, "I know up, it's called Saratoga. Have you ever been to Saratoga? I mean, it's gorgeous. What a beautiful little town. It's like being in Marin, but you're down there. I mean, it's really just beautiful redwood trees, gigantic redwood trees and forests." And so he told us, he gave me this link to a trailhead, and we went up there early in the morning. The sun was up, but it wasn't that high, and on this little trail, and there was a stream there and a swimming hole, and again, it was that icy cold water. And I think, there's something about that I think is so healing. Wim Hof says, "God is cold water." And there's something about it. You going into cold water like that, it's so bracing, and there's such a feeling of being in the moment. And looking up, laying on one's back in this water with these gigantic redwood trees above and no one around, and just nestle them in nature. And I think if we immerse ourselves into nature in that way with the intention of honoring creation and our part of in creation and savoring it, just savoring the real intensity of it, that it does something to every cell in our being. They come alive, and they know that there's a purpose, that we're part of something much greater and tremendously beautiful and alive. And I just love that. And one of the things that really started to bug me so much when traveling, because we don't travel that much anymore on airplanes since COVID, but I noticed it, starting around 2016, 2017, 2018, in the airports, even in the hotels, they always used to have hot and cold water. They had hot water, they had cold water. And you could turn on hot, you could turn on cold, you could mix them however you want. So I always got cold water. And then they started getting rid of that. All they have is this lukewarm water. That's all you get. You can't get it hot or cold. You can't get you can't get cold water in a lot of restrooms now. And I noticed that even in some of the hotels, you turn it, you know, like I always have a cold shower, so I turn it down to cold and it wouldn't go cold. You know, it would just go to like lukewarm. I think that's part of the agenda, you know, to disconnect us from reality is that kind of stuff. Just taking away the opportunity to just feel cold water. What a great thing. And, all these things, you know, just be aware, the chemicals and everything that's so pervasive, we have to really stand porter. Everywhere we went on this tour, we had to tell the people, because they say, what kind of food would you like to eat? And we just said, has to be organic. Really? Oh, no. You know, that put people through their paces because it's, you know, they don't usually make organic food, but we just said, we're not going to eat it if it's not organic. Sorry, we always have our own food, you know, so, but that's like mandatory because it's the poisoning is off the charts right now. I mean, they're going full bore on poisoning the population. And I think, actually, I was thinking about it, we need to start also raising awareness about water because this fluoride is in water and fluoride really is designed to break the spirit. It does. It breaks the spirit. I mean, they started using it in the concentration camps back in the 40s, and they realized they didn't need to have many guards. They didn't need a lot of guards when they fluoridated the water because the prisoners just lost all desire to be free. They just sort of numbed them out. And so they fluoridate all the water now, and they don't need so many guards. I mean, we start guarding ourselves. We guard each other. We just, you know. So make sure your water doesn't have fluoride. I mean, get a good filter. You need reverse osmosis filter or distillation or a really good carbon block filter if you have fluoridated water or if you go to a restaurant where they have it. I mean, you know, that's what's happening. I mean, or else do a cleanse. Do plenty of, you know, do some fasting and cleanse it out. So anyway, we've gone over our time. So the whole idea is, like the Buddha said, and actually like Jesus said. Jesus, he said it very well. He said, be innocent and as doves and wise as serpents, right? I mean, that's it. That's very important. Be innocent as doves. You know, really just have an open heart of love and kindness and compassion for everyone. But don't be gullible. You know, be aware of what's happening and protect other people and ourselves and our mind, because our mind is our only tool, really, for liberation. And if we allow it to be hijacked and polluted and allow it to be corrupted, we shouldn't allow our physical body or our mind to be corrupted by toxins, by meat, dairy, eggs, or chemicals, or any of this stuff. And we shouldn't go along with people and say, oh, it's no big deal. You know, it's a big deal, actually. There's a reason. There's all these toxic chemicals being spewed into the food and the water and the takeover. So if we want to, you know, really keep the vibration high, we need to keep our body and mind clean. And a clean life is one of the greatest gifts we can give, not only to ourselves, but to all living beings. So, all right, that's my feelings for now. My I'd like to share. A few people have made some nice comments, and thank you very much for joining us. So, we'd like to close. If there aren't any other pressing questions or comments, I think we should go ahead and close. So, let's everybody unmute ourselves, and let's say our prayer together. Which Madeline is here. She's right with us. We're so happy she's here. My greatest gift in the universe. Yay. All right. So feel free to unmute your phones and we will, or your whatever, your computers. And you know the drill, right? Let's say our prayer together for the prayer circle for animals. Here we go. Compassion encircles the earth, for all beings, everywhere. Again, compassion encircles the earth, For all beings, everywhere. Yes, one more time.
Compassion encircles the earth. For all beings,
everywhere. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, we love you. So we'll look forward to seeing you on the 15th, the third Thursday. We'll be here and have a beautiful 2 weeks. Much love to you all. Go forth and multiply the message. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Margie. Hi.
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 All right.
Bye.